Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at and learning from Jesus' longest sermon in the Gospel of Luke. This is a place where we get to know Jesus and we learn who he wants us to be. And kind of the setting for this sermon is that this large crowd has gathered from all over Jerusalem and Judea and some of the coastal cities to get close to Jesus, to be healed by him, to listen to his teachings. I imagine there was energy and curiosity in the crowd. And Jesus responds to them by healing many of them that were gathered, and then he begins to teach them. Right? Similar to what teachers do on the first weeks of school or a team leader does when a new person joins their team, Jesus is creating culture among his followers. Jesus is communicating, this is what I want you to do as my followers. This is who I want you to be as my followers. And in this sermon, Jesus gets really specific, as we've seen over the last few weeks. Jesus blesses and cautions us towards where we find our security and how we use our resources. He tells us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hurt us. Jesus calls us to be merciful, generous, forgiving. He calls us not to judge one another, but to consider the plank in our own eye, as we saw last week. And this sermon is jam-packed with deep, life-altering content. Many years ago, in another season of our church, we actually looked at Matthew's version of this sermon sentence by sentence, or verse by verse, I should say, over many, many weeks to consider the rich complexity that was put in each verse. And so we get to the end of Luke's account of this sermon. Jesus is finishing up, I imagine. Maybe the crowd might be even getting restless. And Jesus asks one simple, gut-wrenching question to land his sermon. He says this: why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I imagine like some version of awkward silence hung in the air among the crowd that day. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This is not a sermon just to listen to or be inspired by. Jesus is actually pointing to a pattern that he sees among the people gathered and a pattern that he sees in us. We profess allegiance to Jesus. We proclaim our love for Jesus, but we do not do what he says. And we live this out in all sorts of ways. We read the Bible and we listen to sermons, but nothing changes about our lives. We participate and volunteer in church, but we neglect to love, to forgive, to bless one another. We ask God for more, but we are not generous. We wave to our neighbor while withholding judgment or internalizing judgment towards them as they pass us. There's a difference between listening to Jesus and following Jesus. We can hear the words of Jesus, we can even memorize them without ever putting them into practice. But the words of Jesus are meant to be more than that, right? They're meant to bring action and examine and formation. And so Jesus hangs here with this question for a little while, and he illustrates the difference between hearing and practicing his teachings, giving us a picture. He says this: as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. It's quite a visual, isn't it? Using Jesus's imagery here, each of us is building a house with our lives. And when we put the words of Jesus into practice, when we follow his instructions, when we use the means of his economy, when we trust the truth of his love, a deep, steady foundation is forged in us. The house of our life is anchored and set in place, so that when the flood or the storm or the wind comes, the house does not shake. It is well built. But if we hear the words of Jesus and we do not put them into practice, when we ignore or avoid or selectively choose to do only some of what Jesus says, well, in that space, we have no foundation. The house of our life is poorly constructed. And the moment that storm comes, when it strikes the house collapses and it's destroyed. We've watched kind of an image of this devastating collapse and destruction, what it can look like as we've watched what's happened in Texas when it got too cold. Furnaces couldn't keep homes warm. Power went out for days. There wasn't enough clean water. Sand failed to replace salt on icy roads. The infrastructure failed when the storm came. The infrastructure of our lives can fail in the face of a storm when we do not have a steady foundation that's built on a rock. And we know that storms are going to come, right? Disappointment, loss, heartbreak, injustice, failure, doubt. And as followers of Jesus, we add to that list suffering and persecution, spiritual warfare, or as James says it, trials of many kinds. And Jesus wants our lives to be well built, assembled by his instructions, his truth, his invitation, his formation, so we are not shaken or destroyed or collapsed by whatever happens around us. And so Jesus asks this question, not of accusation, but of inspection. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I'm aware of how we hear this question impacts our ability to answer it. You know, a few years ago, my husband and I were in the process of purchasing a home. And before we could purchase it, we had to have an inspector come through to look at everything. When this man arrived at our house, I welcomed him at the door. I was happy and I was kind and hospitable. And so he walked around this home that we wanted to buy, and he created a list of things that needed to be fixed or changed. And I walked around kind of following him, listening, watching his list. And as his list grew, I felt more overwhelmed. And the more overwhelmed I felt, actually the more irritated I became with this guy. He was very attentive and helpful and clearly very good at his job, and I was just rude. And I was so terrible at hiding it that when he finished the inspection and he goes to leave, I kind of walked him out to his car, he said to me, "I know it can seem like a lot, but we want you to live here as safely as possible for as long as you want. So this list is actually really helpful for you to have." Jesus's question is actually really helpful for us to consider. No matter how overwhelmed or irritated we are at the sound of it, Jesus's question helps us examine any gaps, anything compromising the integrity of our lives with him. In fact, Jesus often asks us questions to show us something we don't yet see. But many of us, we hear this question as an accusation. We often feel shame or embarrassment or just flooded with anxiety when someone points to our shortcomings and failures. But Jesus didn't come to mock us or to blame or to shame us. Jesus came to free and to save us because he loves us. So this question is actually rooted in care and concern and help. So let's sit with this question here for a little bit this morning. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? There are lots of reasons we don't do what Jesus says to do. Jesus' way is radical, isn't it? It's challenging to follow his instructions. Sometimes we don't like what Jesus says to do. Jesus' way requires us to face our own choices, our pain, our judgment, our fear, our prejudice, our own anxiety. I mean, think about it. If we're really going to love our enemies the way that Jesus asks us to love our enemies, well, then we have to lend forgiveness, trust Jesus' sovereignty, work through our grief from the pain we've experienced, and we have to lay down our judgments towards others. And I'm sure I'm missing a few other things. That's a multi-layered process that requires presence and perseverance. That's a lot. You know, sometimes we don't do what Jesus says because it just sounds way too hard. Like, we don't know where to start, so we don't. We ignore what we don't know how to do. And sometimes we don't do what Jesus says to do because we only do a little bit of what Jesus says to do. This is where I get stuck. I do a little bit of the things that Jesus says to do. I pick my least offensive enemy, and I love them. I'm generous when I feel like I have enough. I'm merciful and forgiving to the people that I think deserve it. I skim the surface of what Jesus says to do, and in the wake of that, I sidestep any real change that's required of me. But if I'm going to love Jesus with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, the way that Jesus calls me to, then I've got to do the things he says to do with my whole being. I got to love all my enemies. I have to be generous even when I need something. I have to be merciful and forgiving to everyone. I've got to let Jesus' words permeate the depths of my life so that deep foundation is formed in me. Where do you get stuck? What keeps you from doing the things that Jesus says to do? Thankfully, it's never too late, right? It's never too late to dig a deep foundation. It's never too late to repair the houses of our lives. Last year, we watched this house on our block have its foundation repaired. The house had been empty and dark and had just kind of sat there unattended for a while. But a large family spanning a grandmother and a brand new baby, well, they bought this house. And so the whole block watched as crews raised and repaired and restored the foundation of this house. It was not a total loss. But all of this work was happening below the ground while all of the walls and doors and windows remained intact. Just needed repair so that new life could live in it. Before we move to our announcements and benediction, I wonder if we could take a minute here to turn to Jesus together, to hold his question together as a community in his presence, to talk to him about what actually keeps us from doing the things that he's asked us to do. I'm sure Jesus will continue to talk to us about it throughout the week, but I thought we could start the work here now with him. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your attentive care for the integrity of our lives. We want to be houses that are well built on a steady foundation. And we struggle to do what you say for all sorts of reasons. Forgive us, Lord, for what we have left undone. And as we sit here together as a community, will you show us one place where you'd like to begin repair? One instruction that you'd like us to begin practicing? Just take a minute here to listen to Jesus. Maybe he gives you a picture or an idea. He talks to us in all sorts of ways. Let's take a minute here to listen. Lord, behold what we've left undone in front of you. Our desire is not to just hear your words, but to practice them. To be people who call you Lord and do what you say. Would you teach us what it looks like to take that next step, to pursue repair in one place of our lives, where you've called us to something that we've left undone. Amen.